Tonight, friends, is a night that we understand how meaningful words can be. Our series has been three words: love one another, take him away. Tonight, it is finished. I don't get to the parks very often, but by happenstance and by circumstance, I got to both the Fiserv and to Miller Park. And yes, I probably thought of this when Kristen Yelich knocked it out of the park for a three-run RBI, and they shoot off fireworks now. Whew! That's a big celebration. I began to wonder, what would it feel like right here at home to have them cram out of the dugout and win the World Series? Or at the Fiserv, Giannis is done, and we win. Oh, you can't forget that northern climate, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, Packers, Super Bowl ticket tape. Vince Lombardi would be proud. But if I try to connect that with what happened here, you're going to say that those don't even compare, and you're right, they don't. The end of this is more like at a concentration camp. When they open the door and the people squint and then begin to cry because they are being released for the first time in years. Freedom, real, true freedom. Or maybe it's like an earthquake when they've been buried below, or in a mine where it's been knocked into a disarray and they are struggling just to get breath. And the lights come on and the rescue is complete. In fact, when Jesus says, "It is finished," we are at the culmination of God's work, the end of his mission. You know, when people are pushed to the limits of human endurance and it's finished, I suppose every one of us wonders, is it really? Those things pale in comparison with what happened on the cross. Can you really, really grasp what the torture was for Jesus? I mean, physical, yeah. Crucifixion is horrid, but it's so much more for him. The spiritual, the torment of his soul was beyond description. Some will say, how could he suffer hell in just a few minutes, a few hours on the cross? And if you study the scriptures and know what Jesus was carrying, you get it. Moreover, Jesus wasn't alive by the end of Good Friday. Our text says, when all was finished, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On the cross, the Son of God and the offspring of David died. And one commentator said, you know, where he was buried was just perfect because he began and ended his life in the same way, wrapped in cloths and laid in a borrowed quarters. Just before Jesus died, he spoke the three most important words of truth. It is finished. We don't know whether he was gasping for air, if it came in between breaths, if it was a whisper. But John, the author, was there. He heard him say it. He's the only writer that records these words. And they are there for us because they rattled the very depths of hell. And they echo even now around the earth and into our hearts in such a way that it changes who we are. Tonight we'll look at these two things. All is done for the Father's glory and for us and for our salvation. All is done for the Father's glory. The sign you referred to, Jim, was posted by Pilate. And it was, in many ways, his own justification because he knew that Jesus was innocent. So he put the name Jesus of Nazareth there. And isn't that true? He grew up with all the family and the neighbors of Mary and Joseph. Isn't this the carpenter's son, they would say. But they didn't see what the centurion saw. He saw the eternal spiritual battle. He was a warrior. And he saw strength from another source. The crucifixion is raw. As Jesus would lose his blood and it would drip out, part of that would cause asphyxiation eventually, but it began with what we call the hypovolemic shock. It's as your blood disappears, your body craves more and more to replace the fluids and is going into a sequence of just survival at best. Convulsions at the end. Heart attack. And you let out your breath and you're done. What the centurion saw was that this wasn't just a man from Nazareth. He was the son of another father. And at age 12, he said, I'm going to be about my father's business. And he was. It really began in earnest, didn't it, at age 30. As he would go into the waters of the Jordan and be baptized by John the Baptist, the Father would speak and the dove, the Holy Spirit, would engage. And these are the words, "This is my Son, with him I am well pleased." Following the baptism, it was going to be a more detailed mission, accelerated rapidly. He was into fasting and battle with Satan. It was extreme battle because the temptations, as we just learned during this cycle of Sundays, were exactly the same as what he put on to Adam and Eve. To cast out, to lie, to offer false promises. And Jesus withstood all that with "It is written." And then came the words that his Father had given him. "I don't speak myself, but only what is given to me from above." This is a human who is being informed by the divine. And the miracles, power that literally shot the news around the known universe. Everybody wanted to see, even his enemy rulers like Herod, "Show me your miracles." And yet the primary reason that Jesus was crucified was to give glory to his Father. And the reason is this, that even among the Jews, God is sort of a mystery. He is hidden by his own desire. He's in the shadows, and we really don't see him. And John will say, no one has ever seen God. But then he goes on in his first chapter to describe it. But the only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. In Jesus, God stepped out of the shadows and into real life. In Jesus, you have the face of deep, deepest love. You have the voice of a calming spirit. "Be still and know that I'm God." Words of incredible comfort and a strength to destroy the devil's work, to overcome what Adam and Eve have brought upon us all. And in the cross, we see that Jesus is revealing the Father's glory. When he says, "I completed it. Father, it is finished." A heart beating and then bleeding and stopping out of love. I don't believe in history any time that there are more important words than these three words, because they mark for us that sin has been paid for. As Isaiah had said, the Lord would lay the burden on him. By his wounds we are healed. And these words are pregnant with meaning. Now, supposing you were up here. We traded roles. I got to sit out there. How would you handle a text like this? Frankly, I feel as if I'm trying to catch the wind in my arms. I'm trying to strain the Atlantic Ocean with a strainer. Pick it up, throw it on the beach. Can't be done. And his mystery, this magnitude, this majesty, staggers me. I want you to listen again. Later, knowing that all was now completed so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Three times in here, we have the root word teleo. It is completed. It is fulfilled. It is finished. And the third one comes out in a perfect form in the Greek. And that's something that's grilled into us as pastoral candidates. It was a single word. Not teleo, but tetelestai. Written down in the Greek, though Jesus would have spoken it in the Aramaic. But in the Greek, tetelestai has a unique concept. They have, through many archaeological digs, confirmed among many papyrus that it is the stamp of the Roman culture when a bill has been completely satisfied. It means like we would have a stamp paid in full. It is finished. Not I am finished. Not I'm dying. Not I'm going away. But my task, my mission, what I have been doing for good to the glory of the Father. And it is finished means that it has been accomplished. Not just now. The perfect tells us it goes on, the carrying forth of this completion until the day of eternity. It has been completely satisfied and done. Secondly, all is done for us and for our salvation. Why would he do this? Why would he die in such a fashion? A lowly criminal. I know as a pastor, I often can dig deeper than I can share. And this is why it staggers me, is I can't control my own sin. And frankly, I don't know how to help you control yours. The list against us is also staggering. To walk in front of a judge with that many offenses and expect for any mercy, any release, is ludicrous. Why did he come? Well, let's look at how Jesus defined his mission and how the apostles that were commissioned to share it understood it. He was commissioned to preach the gospel to the poor, Luke 4, to bring life, and life to the full, he would say in John 10 and 13, to destroy the devil's work, 1 John 3, to bring fire upon the earth, there is an element of judgment, and to testify to the truth. But there's something deeper in that mission that links to the satisfying of that bill. It comes out in these statements, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." In Timothy, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul knows it because he says, "Of whom I am the worst. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins." 1 John 3. The human mind, all of our minds, simply won't grasp that. It isn't a matter, it is not a matter of can we, it's a matter of the will. We don't want someone to pay for us. We're going to do this ourselves because that's how it works in our human world. We get grades, we get a job, we pay our bills, and then we pat ourselves on the back for being so accomplished. You know, we see the evidence of man's sin all around. And I think it's accelerating there as well. A terrorist that pulls out a gun in an assembly like this. What have we come to? A door on the back of a van opens. And there are children that are being trafficked for financing. It might be in your workplace. It might be in a rich home in your neighborhood. It might be in a poverty-stricken city, but in every place, the sinful mind continues to be hostile to God And it is, as Paul says in Romans 8, the mind governed by the flesh is death. To think that God would accept whatever we would bring, it isn't going to happen. It had to be paid by someone who could afford it. And on the cross, we see the only way, the better way. Here, it is finished. The accusation of Satan is silenced. And it cannot come against you either. There's the burden. Oh, let's start up. Let's go back. I thought that was the wrong list. The suffering. Jesus endured for the sins of the world, fulfilling all the prophecies. This had all been predicted. 300 prophecies circle around Jesus, all fulfilled. The full payment. A sacrifice is made. The punishment. They have been punished in Jesus. The accomplishment. Another way of saying it is finished. Since God had done it, it was done perfectly. The accusation. With flawless obedience, Jesus silenced Satan. The burden is lifted and justice is served because it was served on him. The fear of death, it doesn't haunt us because sin and sin's destroyer hang together there on the cross. And the power of hell has no more control. At the very end it says, Jesus turned back to his Father and he cried out his name, Abba. The Hebrew, Abba. Abba. Come and get me. I've finished the job. That is phenomenal. And you know, I've learned that because it's all done already, when I lay my head down on the pillow, I too can say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Because I can't get this life right. I'm not going to. And I don't think you are either. But Jesus did. And it is finished. Amen.